this show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else. Sci-Fi Noise, I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at sci-fi-noise.com. That's not exactly early. Sunday morning, but it is early for me. Trust me, it's well, lead somewhere. We have a new dog. And I didn't realize this, but this dog is used to being fed very early. Apparently, the lady that I got him from, who's actually my sister, I guess she used to leave food out for him all the time. We don't do that at my house. Two reasons. We have cats. We don't want cats eating the dog food because the cats have their food downstairs, which we leave for them all day long. And we have two big dogs who will eat any and everything they can get their face on. Okay, so if we left his food out all day long, they would just gorge on it. Now, unfortunately, he is a small dog. He is a Minpin. He is actually smaller than all three of my cats. My cats have been loved so much that they're just bursting with love. They have enough love to share. Right? Now, we usually keep cat food out for the cats. The cats eat downstairs in the basement. Dogs eat upstairs. We have a sliding door leading from the upstairs to the downstairs so that the big dogs can't get down there and start eating up all the cat food. Now, unfortunately, since we have such a small dog, he can go where the big dogs can't. He can go everywhere the cats can. Okay? So, what that means is that every night, we have to keep him in his crate, his carrying crate. It's where he lives all night long. We'll put him in there, put a blanket over it. He goes to sleep. But around, I guess this is what he used to do at her house too. But around 4:30, 5 o'clock, he gets hungry and he wants to eat. I'm the only one who can hear him. I'm the only one who can hear the cats when they are scratching on the downstairs door and they want to come upstairs and walk around. I'm the only one who can do that. You know what? That story really isn't going anywhere. That's just to tell you why I sound so tired. I'm sorry. I just should have said I didn't get a lot of sleep, so I'm tired. Anyway, the rest of the show may or may not make any sense. But I was laying, waiting for the dogs to get ready to want to go outside and do their business. Because they all come and pounce on me when it's time to go. And I was thinking about the movie Divergence. Divergent. I'm not going through that one again. You know which movie I'm talking about. And all of a sudden I started thinking, that's one of those movies that it had some really exciting sequences. I know that for some reason it left a lot of other people flat, but I don't get why. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. Maybe it's because the movie going audience is skewing much older. I know, I don't really know a whole lot of young children, and I shouldn't say young children, put it like this. I have a preteen boy, a teenage girl, who's 15, and then I have a 24-year-old and a 33-year-old, okay? So there's that, let's say 16 to 23, that whole age span, I don't know anybody, okay? I don't know what those kids are like, neither do movie people, obviously, because if they did, they would probably, you know, start catering more to them. But I can tell that that's what they try to do every now and then. They try to cater to younger people, and it doesn't really work, because what they do is they take these younger people and they put them in roles, I should say, put them in situations and predicaments that are definitely more suited for older people, you know, people with a little bit more maturity. And so it sort of seems sort of false in a way, right? In Divergence, you have these kids who should be about, what, I think she said she was 16, probably 16, 17, 18 at the most, and yet they're all played by people who look like they're in their 30s. Well, I shouldn't say that. That's sort of disingenuous. But they do, they all play by people who look much older than they're supposed to be, and they make them soldiers, you know. Then you have a movie like Ender's Game, where once again you have these children who are playing soldiers, and very rarely do you ever see scenes of them being kids, you know, reacting in immature ways, because movie ways of being immature is not doing what you're supposed to do when someone older tells you to do it right then and right there, you know. Same thing with the Hunger Games. You know, Katniss is supposed to be young, but they're thrusting all these trappings of celebrity on her, and on top of that, she's got to go around killing people, you know. I don't care what society you're from, taking another life and being praised for it, that's something that's not really meant for kids, you know. There's another movie that came to mind. I'm not talking about movies like Logan's Run, where the whole purpose of the movie is to say, hey, look, younger people, to say, hey, look, once you get past a certain age, people are no longer needed. At least that's the way I've always saw Logan's Run, because I think that's like the plot of the movie. Somebody who turns 30 and he decides, you know what, I don't really think I want to die. After Earth. And now After Earth got a bad rap, if you ask me. I thought that it was a perfectly enjoyable movie. It was a survival movie. It was a sci-fi survival movie. And once again, you have a young kid who's placed in this really adult situation. I'm not talking about adult situation where boobs are flying around. I'm talking about, or, you know, or butts. You know, butts and boobs. I'm talking about adult situations like, hey, I need to do this or else my father is going to die. Okay, it's a lot of pressure to put on a kid. I have to do this or a bunch of other people are going to die. And it's all on him. And there were times where they showed him being immature, him being scared, right? Him being human. And I think that, well, I think there are a lot of reasons why that movie failed, but I think that that his bouts of immaturity, his bouts of failing, is kind of what took some people by surprise. Like, hey, this guy's supposed to be Barney Badass. That's Petty's thing. She always says Barney Badass. Anyway, this guy's supposed to be Barney Badass, and you know, he's crying, you know? And to me, that seemed a lot more realistic than Ender's Game, where Ender was leading all these was causing all this death and destruction, right? And at the very end of the movie and the book, I'm assuming, Ender seems to show his humanity. But for most of that movie, and I will admit I haven't read the book, but for most of that movie, he seemed more like a cipher than anything. You know, he seemed like the kid in those body swap movies, you know. What was that movie with George Burns and Charlie Sheppard? What was it called? It wasn't 17 Again. But it was something like that, where an old man switches bodies with a young person, right? Now, a lot of times, they just have the young person doing an imitation of this older, more famous actor. But the kids always seem like artificially old, you know? There's like a lot of comedy in dressing old people up like young people, and young people saying, no, you shouldn't do that. But, you know, it's artificial. We all know it's artificial. And a lot of times in movies like this, that's like what they do, you know? The kids aren't allowed to even smile in some of these movies, right? And if they smile, then you know they're not the lead. Or if they're smiling, they're gonna something bad's gonna happen to them. Anyway, that's just what I was thinking. And as I'm outside, dogs are running around and they're looking like they're ready to go back inside and get something to drink. I'm doing a lot of walking around, pacing back and forth. I think I mentioned that before. When I would do a podcast, I like to walk, I like to pace. This time it's helping waking me up. So, thank you. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back soon with another. Oh, my God.